Okay, well, thank you very much. Thanks for this fantastic and diverse session. So I'm going to talk, we're going to go back a little bit, talk more about fungi and more about metals and actually metal-mineral interactions and fungal-metal-mineral interactions. So just quickly to thank co-authors and collaborators, specifically Margaret Ann, who will be talking a little bit later, but she has taught me pretty much everything I know about manganese oxides, so it's great. as well as funding from the National Science Foundation and the Smithsonian. And so I'm going to talk about fungi because they're awesome, because they are ubiquitous in soils. This is a particular case that is a unique type of fungus called an ectomycorrhizal fungi, or fungus, where they form this intimate association with plant roots, and actually plants utilize those fungi to forage the soil for nutrients. So they're very, very important in various ecosystems. They also can tolerate really highly contaminated areas. These are two particular sites that our lab has been really interested in for the last several years. Up here, we have an acid mine drainage site in central Pennsylvania. And down here, a reclaimed phosphorus mine in southeast Idaho. And we've been interested in what the role fungi play in metal cycling in these sites that are contaminated with a variety of metals. And then lastly, fungi are prolific mineral makers. I fondly call them charismatic microfauna. On the left, we see sort of this spaghetti-like filaments. Those are the fungal hyphae. And then the popcorn interspersed in there are manganese oxides. This is one of our favorite lab organisms, Steganospora. And then on the right is a different organism, Paraconiothyrium, forming elemental selenium from various treatments that it's given selenium 4 and selenium 6 in its growth media. So I'm going to be talking, not surprisingly, about manganese and selenium. Selenium is a really interesting and dynamic element. It can have detrimental ecosystem impacts in high concentrations. So the most well-known case is this Kesterton Reservoir case in California from the 1980s. It's a site that became extremely highly contaminated with selenium from agricultural runoff from agricultural drainage. And then on the East Coast, we've also seen selenium toxicity problems in mine drainage sites. So this is one that was observed in the Mud River in West Virginia. And you can see some selenium toxicity with this poor fish with his underbite or the squiggly tail. So it might look minor, but these are actually can magnify to very big problems in these areas. And selenium is, as I said, very dynamic. Its mobility and its bioavailability are really driven by what form it's in the environment. It's redox active, so on the reduced end, we have selenide or selenium minus two forms and elemental selenium. These are gonna predominate in anoxic or suboxic environments. And they mostly are insoluble or volatile, although there are organic forms of selenide that are neither insoluble nor volatile. In more oxic environments, so surface waters, surface soils, things like that, we would expect to see either selenium 4 oxidation state or selenium 6 oxidation state. These are both oxidation state or forms of selenium that form oxyanions. And these are highly water soluble, so they're quite mobile in the environment. And so I said that we expect these forms to be present in most oxic environments, but we do know of many, many microbes, including fungi that can aerobically reduce these selenium 4 and selenium 6 forms down to elemental selenium and selenide forms. And then I also said that I'm going to be talking about manganese. So dissolved manganese is also a potential pollutant in high concentrations, commonly seen in things like mine drainage areas. So here's our friendly acid mine drainage site. And manganese is also a really interesting and dynamic redox active element, but it has a very different chemistry. So for manganese, we expect the water-soluble forms to be in the reduced form, the manganese 2 form. And then as we oxidize it, we end up with insoluble manganese 3 or manganese 3-4 oxides. So manganese 2 oxidation can happen in the presence of oxygen. It is expected. But it is very, very slow. And so unless it's catalyzed by microbes or mineral surfaces, it doesn't really appreciably accumulate. But biogenic manganese oxides are highly, highly reactive. They adsorb metalloids and metals, contaminants, their sinks. We heard a lot about that this morning, with iron. And they can also oxidize reduced contaminants, both reduced metals and metalloids, as well as organic contaminants. So I'm going to bring these two things in together and say, what do we expect when fungi grow in a high manganese, high selenium environment with oxygen around, in an oxic environment? And what we would expect is to see this biogenic manganese oxidation happening, catalyzed by the fungus, and then an abiotic coupling of the selenium to that manganese oxide, oxidizing the selenium, say, selenium 4 to selenium 6. This has been seen with selenium in particular, with synthetic manganese oxides, and it's also been seen with numerous other metals, so uranium, arsenic, chromium, sometimes with biogenic manganese oxides, sometimes with synthetic, sometimes with both. And we wanted to try this with our favorite lab strain, Steganospora. This is a known manganese oxidizer. It is also known to aerobically reduce selenium. It's a common soil fungus. It's an ascomycete, and it was isolated from those acid mine drainage sites. We grow this in the lab in culture. These are liquid cultures. If you've never seen fungus growing in liquid, they either look great or gross, depending on your opinion. So they're white and fluffy if nothing's around. If selenium is around, you might be able to start picking out this sort of pinkish red color that's very indicative of biogenic elemental selenium. Then I'll show you what this manganese, when manganese is around, they start producing all of these dark brown precipitates. Those are the manganese oxides. And so we added selenium in both oxidation states plus manganese, and we start to see that potentially there's maybe some selenium reduction happening at the same time as manganese oxidation. So that wasn't very confirmatory, it's just a picture, but we took this to a scanning electron microscope, and this, again, is our fungal hyphae, the spaghetti, our popcorn manganese oxide, and all of the sparkles are elemental selenium. So this was really, really cool. Fungi, this fungal strain at least, is able to produce both manganese oxide and elemental selenium biominerals at the same time. And it sort of indicates that manganese oxidation and the selenium redox are decoupled in the presence of this fungus. So if we go back to what we were expecting, we're expecting these things to be coupled abiotically, but we're not really seeing evidence of that. And I've only really shown you pictures, so maybe that's not super convincing yet. But we do see convincingly that we have this reduction of selenium 4 to elemental selenium. Unclear as of yet if it's selenium minus 2 as well. We can look at some wet chemistry. So this is the aqueous manganese in solution over 3 time points, so at the beginning of the experiment, at 14 days and at 31 days. You can see actually that manganese drops out of solution, presumably due to that oxidation, very, very fast. So by 14 days, in both of our selenium experiments, we have essentially no manganese left in the overlying solution. And so we really want to know what's going on in the solid phase. What are the manganese forms that are forming? What are the selenium forms that are forming? And to do that, we need to use some of these awesome solid phase techniques that we've been hearing about. So this might seem like a simple culture-based experiment, but it's not that simple. Here's what a schematic of maybe a little fungal hyphae growing in culture. And if we want to look at the solid phase, we can look at the precipitates that are forming. So these are, you know, elemental selenium particles that could be produced intracellularly or extracellularly, as well as manganese oxides. We could have sorbed species, so those selenium 4 or selenium 6 oxyanions sorbing to biomass or to any of the minerals, as well as the manganese 2 ions sorbing to those minerals or the biomass. And we can also have organic selenium forms, and those would be organic selenides that could potentially be forming inside the biomass, or I guess outside the biomass. And so that is a lot of things, even with our sort of simple three-component system. To look at this, we're trying to do this in a number of different ways to get at it. So we're looking at X-ray absorption spectroscopy of both selenium and manganese. We're looking at XRD and FTIR at a couple time points to see if this changes. That's a lot of data. I'm only going to share the excess data, talking about sort of the local molecular structure of selenium and manganese. So when we do this, I go to the advanced photon source at Argonne National Lab, and we collect data like this, lots of squiggles. These are referenced manganese spectra. So we try to incorporate a number of different known manganese oxide structures and other manganese structures. So we have references for manganese 2 forms, manganese 2 structures, manganese 3, and manganese 3-4 oxides. And then we can take that and combine them statistically using linear combination fits to try and match our experimental spectra. We're doing this, again, for two time points, a 14-day and a 31-day experiment in both selenium-4 and selenium-6. And these are equal molar concentrations of selenium and manganese, I should say. And then we do that for selenium as well. So we have all four of our different oxidation state forms represented within our reference library. So going from our organic selenium minus 2 forms to elemental selenium, and then our oxyanion selenium-4, selenium-6 forms. And the squiggles get a little bit hard to look at. So I'll just summarize what we were getting from those linear combination fits. So on the manganese side, we saw that we'll start with selenium-4. We see pretty much 100% bernasite or bernasite-like structures. At 14 days, we're actually seeing that split between triclinic bernasite and something like a poorly crystalline hexagonal bernasite. But by 31 days, we actually are only seeing that hexagonal bernasite phase. So there's some sort of transformation going on, potentially sort of getting rid of that triclinic. In the presence of selenium-6, at 14 days, we actually see about a third of our solid phase manganese is associated as manganese-2. So presumably that's manganese-2 sorbed onto the surfaces of various things. But by 31 days, we no longer have that manganese-2 signal. We're really only seeing bernasite, and again, it's that sort of combination of triclinic and hexagonal. On the selenium side, we see some other interesting things. So for, again, starting with selenium-4, we see really no change over time. We see about half of the solid phase selenium is present as elemental selenium, and about half is this organic selenide form, and particularly what we're fitting best to is selenocysteine. This is a dimer of cysteine where the sulfurs are substituted with selenium. So you have two seleniums and then two cysteine molecules. And that is interesting. We see that as well at 14 days in the selenium-6 case, and that's the majority of what we're seeing for the solid phase selenium. But by 31 days, we actually see that transforming in some way to methyl selenocysteine. So it's essentially just a single cysteine molecule with the sulfur substituted with selenium. And an extra methyl group. So it's breaking down that dimer in some way, and just now we have the monomer, or roughly the monomer. And then also interestingly with this, we also see selenium-4. It seems to be accumulating in the solid phase, but again, this was grown with selenium-6. It was not grown with selenium-4. So we're only seeing reduced products in this case, but it's unclear here if that selenium-4 is coming through reduction from selenium-6 to selenium-4, and then is ready sort of for further reduction to selenium-2, or if this is being oxidized from the selenium-2. And I'm going to sum that up again because it's a little bit complicated. So again, in the presence of selenium-4 and manganese, we see reduction of selenium-4 to a mixture of about 50-50 elemental selenium and selenium-2. We don't see any evidence, at least in the solid phase, of this coupling, abiotic coupling of selenium-4 with manganese, or selenium-4 oxidation with manganese oxide reduction. On the other hand, with selenium-6, when these fungi are grown with manganese and selenium-6, we see products that are selenium-4 and selenium-2. Both of those are reduced forms compared to the selenium-6 that we started with. But it's not really clear if that is going through sort of this intermediary selenium-4 or it's going sort of a big jump from selenium 6 to selenium minus 2, and then a reoxidation of that selenium minus 2 to selenium 4. And obviously this might be coupled, that might be due to the presence of the manganese oxides, but all that sort of is yet to be teased out. So, that was faster than I expected. So, manganese and selenium, they're really important. Manganese is everywhere. Also, fungi are everywhere. Selenium is some places. They can be co-contaminants in mining-related areas. And mycogenic manganese oxides and elemental selenium and organic selenium, so reduced forms of these selenium, of selenium, can co-occur. And I would like to make a plug for really understanding fungal processes in how they might alter metal-metalloid-mineral interactions, because it's really going against what we might expect chemically. And so if we need to think about things like developing successful, effective bioremediation strategies, especially where we're thinking about employing microbes, we need to understand how they're going to alter this chemistry, because otherwise they won't be necessarily effective. So with that, I will take any questions.
Nice job. I was curious when you showed selenium 4, the presence of MnO2 being reduced down. What's the reductant in that system? Is it ROS? Could it be manganese 2 zorbium MnO2 that's an effective reductant somehow?
So even manganese 2 shouldn't, I don't think, really reduce. The manganese 2 manganese oxide couple is well above any selenium, like even selenium 6, selenium 4 couples, or selenium 4 to more reduced forms. So I wouldn't expect that to necessarily happen. We're working on trying to figure out what these fungi are doing with selenium. I will also say these reduced forms persist in the presence of synthetic manganese oxides as well. So I've done other kinds of experiments. They will persist when those synthetic manganese oxides are there from the beginning. So there's some sort of active participation of the fungi with selenium that's sort of going against all sorts of thermodynamics. Certainly. I think I would say these are probably preliminary fits that we're working on refining. Yes, there could be a single phase that is like highly enriched in manganese 3 or something like that. We don't have any other microscopy right now or any. We do have diffraction. Diffraction is incredibly similar for all of them. So they're really, really hard to you know, interpret. It's definitely something that we can look into further. But for now, I would say we're not seeing sort of broad differences, at least among any of the treatments, to indicate that sort of there's a transformation happening. Yeah.
I may have missed that, but do you have any sense for where the organic convex selenium resides? If it's on its outer cell wall or if it's taken up into the IV?
No, is the short answer. It's really, really hard to separate any sort of like subsections of our, so we can't pull out like our biomass fraction and then look at what's on the outside and what's on the inside, because we can't separate it from the elemental selenium and stuff. And most of the ways we would do that, we would probably end up, you know, altering some aspects of the selenium. And so We haven't yet figured that out. We are trying to work on understanding that. I do know that not the selenium minus 2, but the elemental selenium is both intracellular and extracellular. So there is certainly some selenium uptake into the cell that, you know, could, some of it can form, you know, potentially be reduced to organic forms as well.
Thank you.